Blog Talk Radio. This is Deanne, and welcome everyone to Blog Talk Radio. I hope I'm on the air. I had a little mishap there for a minute. Oh, I haven't been on for a minute, but I'm going to be doing shows today, tomorrow, and on Sunday. On Sunday, I'm going to have someone from the Linda LaRouche Party on, talking about the situation we have going on, not only in America, but across the world, possibility of war, nuclear war, between us and Russia. They're sounding the alert, folks. They're saying there's things going on. While we're watching other things in the news, they're not talking about things that are really affecting us. Though it's a situation, it looks like we're doing real well here in the United States. Are we really? Are you really seeing things really as they are? Or is this a part of some type of matrix that they want to keep you out of the loop of what is really going on in this world? Really going on. We got a situation overseas with the economy that started in Greece and other parts of Europe. Economy's failing, folks, all over. It's not only the issue of the stock market. Stock market is just a little corner of this. Stock market's already gone. You know, we just don't realize it, but it is. It's like they're cranking money into something that's non-existing just to keep you appeased for a while till they can figure it all out. But is it more a devious thing than just them figuring it out? Maybe it's something else that they're trying to do. That, you know, before it was like they were going to try to decrease certain levels of the world population. Harley Stengler will be on the show, by the way, from the Linda LaRouche group, talking out about what it is that we're not seeing and understanding where all this money is being moved to and what is going on. You know, this is, backdoor politics, backdoor, you know, stuff you don't see, stuff you don't hear, things that they keep from you. And then all of a sudden it's going to raise its ugly head. But are you prepared? Are American citizens prepared for what's getting ready to go on? I listened to a talk show the other day. I don't remember. It was a Chicago-based show. But the thing they were talking about, interesting enough, was the impact of what happened in New Orleans. You know, we forget about these things. We, you know, New Orleans, we forgot about Oklahoma City. We forgot all of these disasters that have been under these alleged presidents that, you know, have been in office, never removed, and continue to sit there and occupy our government and our controversies of causing conspiracies against the United States. And we seem to be okay with it. You know, the guy that came on was an African-American guy talking about the disenfranchised black people out of New Orleans, and how today they still have never gotten any of their money. There's no proof of their land possession. There's no proof of anything because most of the stuff was washed away. And those people are still displaced, and those areas are still in not a boom in the business industry down there. So the business industry took, you know, its ground, you know, from the New Orleans Mardi Gras system down there. And it's rendered more and more, people coming in that are not, you know, of the community there. They're, you know, people migrating in to enjoy the pleasures of New Orleans, entertainment district. And the only thing of people that were doing things down there that it was Harry Connick Jr. and it was Brad Pitt and even one of the great I think it was Muddy Waters was down there trying to, you know, resolve some things. But the thing was, the situation was so deadly, those people never got out of this situation that's over there. And the thing was, money piled in, and where did the money go? Where did the money go? Now, this is interesting. Unhappy anniversary, New Orleans. Why 10 years isn't enough time to heal? 5 hours ago, let's see what it said about New Orleans. So this is, you know, like an anniversary. Can you imagine this stuff happened 10 years ago? Residents forced to flee to Houston during Katrina returned to New Orleans. And this is what one column says, and this was from Pula Lodgy, and of a news station, ABC Channel 13, and it says this: it's hard to argue with Irma White, especially when she said someone or something is watching over her. I had a Bible in one hand and a tote in the other hand, and just walked as slow as I could, holding it, she said. It was only things that I owned to survive. White was in New Orleans when Katrina hit. She had evacuated her home on the west side of town and was staying in the hotel downtown. She never expected that her hotel would be evacuated. With water as high as her chest, White just kept walking. A step of faith, because you don't know what was going to be in that water, she explained. It was miles later that White finally found a ride from a stranger. The truck stopped, totally running out of gas. It was at the moment that he said, "Well, you know I stole this milk truck. I literally escaped in the milk truck," the driver said. It took White another week to finally make it out of the state. Then says that some others who have lost everything, she found a home in Houston. It took 7 years for Irma to return to New Orleans. There's no other place in the world like New Orleans. I strongly had ties basically to the stronger than the Category 5 storm. I felt like I survived that. I can survive anything. It probably won't surprise you to hear White recently came out of retirement. The survivor, now consul after storm survivors. Can you imagine this? 10 years ago, it's still there. We weren't impacted because we weren't in it. You know, that's another thing. You know, walk in other people's shoes sometimes. We can't do that. We're so busy, you know, thinking people are this and that and the other. But walk in other people's shoes. You know, she must have been here, could have been misenfranchised real badly. She didn't have anything. And then how did people probably judge her? You know, how did Christians judge her? You know, people going to church asking you for help, and then you look at them and give them a whole bunch of paperwork and stack it up on them and prove who you are and this, that, and the other. When this person is just barely making it, just asking for some recovery help, and you're judgmental on that person, not knowing and walking in their shoes. This thing is getting really freaking scary out here. I mean, the churches, even though that they have been helping before, are very, you know, cautious of helping anyone. They have to give government paperwork, you know, to prove up any dimes that they give anyone. And is government and church supposed to be together? Isn't it supposed to be a situation where church and government supposed to remain separate? But it seems as though church and government's together, because they surely have to report every dime. So that means who gets help? I remember at first the president came on, Bush, talking about he was going to help all the Katrina victims with the $2,500 piece, dropped down to $250. Then it was like a voucher. And then it was like nothing. Many of them came into Illinois. There was a place here, Hesset House had them, and it was weird that a lot of these people in certain spots, they were all in these places, and they couldn't leave. They were under quarantine. They didn't say why. They couldn't leave. They couldn't go around other people, nothing, you know, quarantined up. Now, think of how that's going to be with us. You don't see the focus of what I'm trying to talk to you about. You have a problem. Because right now, the economy is getting to crash. I don't know when. It's coming soon. Because, see, I'm watching Greece. I'm watching what's going on with China right now. They've been, you know, hit pretty bad. The stock market crashed yesterday, you know, really bad yesterday. They injected money from who knows where into it to make it look like it's solvent, but it's not. Then on top of it all, they're stealing all the pensions. See, what they're doing is they're doing replacement costs, you know. It's replacement costs. You go and take money out of someplace else and replace it with some other money from someplace else just to make people or appease people to make them believe everything is solvent and good. It's not solvent and good. How the hell is it going to be solvent and good when we're in an economic crisis that we're in this country? And then why this is going on in the secret squirrel world, these people are building up a huge military base out in the order all around Russia, threatening Russia. You know, I remember a week ago they stuck a flag up on Cuba's soil, and Cuba had the warheads originally from way back with Nikita Khrushchev. So now it's a situation that Cuba is our ally now, not Russia. So, you know, now Russia's all surrounded, got ships and things, and we're trying to put a coup out on Russia. And Russia, you know, how are they going to respond? Now, if they come back and say, okay, you know, United States, I don't care. And say, they start firing. One little thing, incident, could cause a situation, a whole nuclear thermal war, and half the population or more is going to be devastated and dead. That's what the people from LaRouche party is going to come out and talk about on Sunday. Because they see the pattern, too. We don't see it because we're so close to the picture. You know, the United States, you know, I was talking to Don with the Linda LaRouche organization earlier today, and he was talking about how, you know, down in Detroit, they used to have the Ford Motor plant and all those things, all the GM plants. Every one of them are gone. It's vacant lots, nothing there. No jobs, but there are jobs, but the jobs that are there is that you have to have so much background checks and everything in order to get hired any place now. You have to be the creme to get hired. And then just even a service job, they make sure that you've got all kinds of levels of master's and doctorate and degrees to even get $10 an hour. So, you know, where's all these so-called jobs? And then the foreigners are coming over here, they're getting jobs because they're coming in for droves, being in these countries that we've bombarded and done things to. So, you know, they're evacuating, coming over here. And then, you know, we got the problem we claim with the Mexicans, but the Mexicans aren't no problem. They're just trying to survive, too. And everybody over here is pointing fingers at every other ethnicity and not realizing that it's not them at all. They're causing you to point fingers because they're playing the game. And you're the pawn. You're being manipulated. You're sitting there looking at this stuff and not realizing how bad this stuff is. I saw this stuff going on back in 2000 and 1999 when I was in the mortgage industry. It started in real estate. You know, if you look at the movie Dracula, if you watch the actual movie Dracula, guess what? The whole thing of Dracula started with real estate. The dude that came to his castle came there to make a real estate deal with Dracula. And he got caught up, ended up in there, and it all started with real estate. Where's it now? I went to court with this lady. I'm still complaining about it because I just can't believe it. I'm outraged. They had a situation, they had a hearing in Chicago in the U.S. District Court. And there was supposed to be paperwork sent to this lady, an elderly lady, that, you know, is disabled, and she has nobody. She's just trying to save her family home, which is there are billions of people out here going through the same scenario. But she's one that I took interest in because I just can't believe what I'm seeing. So anyway, she went to district court, and the third-party debt collectors are in there, and they're sitting there installed in these courtrooms, just, you know, pulling up these cases on, you know, on the basis that, you know, they always feel that they won because they got your signature on some paper, and they just come in there and just pop your name in there, and next thing you know, you have a debt. And these debts are never ending because they can go, write them off at the IRS door. Write them off, folks. And it goes 120 days suspension, and then it's written off for tax at the end of the year. They go and sell it to somebody else. The debt's already gone, and they refurbish the debt. So the sneaky thing they're doing is that the debt collector is becoming a part of the company that is dissolving the debt. And that's a conflict of interest. But the thing is, who do you go to? Because you don't have no government. You don't have no senators or congressmen looking into absolutely positively anything other than yanking your string and asking you for money. They're not doing their job. That's a job. That's not something that you're created some type of elite force that's tied to ancient Rome that sits there with the aristocrats once you vote them in. You know, give us Barabbas or whatever. I don't understand it. And we sit there and watch this stuff. Are they robbing you blind? There's no accountability of where this money's going. We don't even ask. We just keep working, working, working until we die. And the thing is, we're dying out here quickly. There's no medical. They're forcing you to buy insurance, but you go to the hospital, they'll treat you. They give you medicine that's poison, stuff that if you take it, it's got so many side effects on it that, you know, it kills you instantaneously. And the thing is that, you know, the issue is that we don't have no medical professional. You know, no Florence Nightingale or anything. It's a conspiracy. It's like the Highlander. They can be one. It can only be one. So all these companies are eating up each other. You know, think of, Sony, it's Universal Studios, it's Comcast, it's NBC. But who else are they going to gobble up? One big, huge corporation. One big, big, huge corporation controls international media. Car manufacturers overseas, you know, a whole different ballpark. We don't control the manufacturing shit over here. We don't have anything we control. We don't even control our households. How can we? They have sent people in. I know for a fact they sent people in to compromise my family. I remember Stu Webb going through this with his wife and his daughter. He was married to Millman, and he went and ratted out this thing with the Savings and Loan Institution that involved the Bush son and what was it, Charles Keaton what is his name? Dean, the one that was the astronaut that went up. John Glenn, and it was Charles Keaton. It was one other. Oh, McCain. Now, McCain is still in office. Bushes have been in office, presidents, and whatever. And it's still out there. And the thing is, why is it that they can be out there, but then they turn around and how do you arrest an Illinois governor for fraud when you're allowing these people to walk around free with fraud? Where's the basis of law? Where's the basis of balance in judicial process? There is not. There's a big old sign in Will County. It says when you go into court, it says mandatory arbitration for any foreclosure case. They don't mandate that. They don't even follow it. The judges don't. It's like a certain people secret squirrel organization. And the thing is that justice? I mean, this little lady that I'm trying to help and get, you know, people that look at her case, I'm just saying, I've been going out there trying to get somebody to realize what's going on with her. Because she is the fabric of seniors, fabric of old people, it's the fabric of the young forces out there that have been trying to save their home. She's the fabric of the nightmare that's going on. Because, see, I was in the mortgage industry, and I saw what was going on. You think the senators, anybody would come to me and ask me anything about what's going on? They said and claimed, Oh, well, we couldn't find anybody for any mortgage community who would talk about what's going on. Hey, I would have been willing. They didn't ask me. Only when they asked, the ones that they said they ain't going to say nothing. Because, again, who was fiduciarily involved with that? How many senators and governors and people were tied into this mortgage fiasco and bubble? It's corruption to the top. And the thing is that when it something gets seeded in so tough like that, the thing is that was the basis of who's going to clean up the mess. So now let's go to the biblical level of this. Biblical. On the biblical thought process, if you think about the Christian church or whatever, they'll say that this is end times. They'll say that this is it. You know, this is end times. It's coming. We're moving on to the glory land. They'll say that to you. The end times is based on when God chooses, not when it's man-made. And we sat there and allowed this man-made disaster happen. We allowed them to go in our banks and steal from us. A bank is a depository for you to put your money in. It's not for them to go and take your money and do whatever the heck they want. And don't give you a dollar or a penny. Though they do give you a penny for interest. But then they're trading over wherever and making money off of it, and they give you a penny, and then penalize you if you have a return check or anything like that. They penalize you if you pay you all this money, but yet they're using your money, putting together false bank accounts, using that as a rigger to try to create money for themselves, and the money doesn't go to you. The same thing is with these houses. These houses are vacant all over the place. And they're not doing anything to put anybody in these houses. Who can afford them? They're intentionally doing this. So who the hell they put there? It's going to be Martian land? Or what the hell are they doing? And we don't hold none of them accountable. There's no enforcement of law. If you call up, I call Congress and Senate all this week about stuff. And you know what? They could come back and say, oh, well, you know, we'll handle that. That's not in our jurisdiction. Where you live? Oh, we don't handle that. And it's not enough of us complaining. I even called Reverend Jakes in Chicago trying to get the involved with him to see if we could organize something. Then, you know, he didn't call me back. I know he's busy, but the thing is, if people are willing to get together, hey, why don't we work together? Nobody's working together on nothing. Lip service. Oh, you know, I used to do this, oh, this and that and the other. Nobody's doing anything. And then when this monster falls, what the hell are you going to do? Let me ask you this. You live in a city, big city. You're sitting in your house and then you go out and say you want to go get some juice from the store. Okay, the news media comes out and says, oh, the whole banking system has collapsed. Stay tuned for a moment. You run out of the store a little bit quicker and say, oh, let me get a couple more items other than juice. And let me get some bread, eggs, and all this stuff. Now, all this stuff is highly inflated right now because, you know, there's been a situation where truck stoppages, stoppage of food creation, food coming from India being, delayed travel and stuff like that because everything in the system is going to start coming to screech and halt. This is worse than gamma rays from outer space. Because if you look at what's going to happen, are you prepared? No. So you go to the store. But I remember something like this happened with me, and it alerted me to this stuff way, way back in the 80s when there was a situation that the power went out where I was, and the supermarket was there. And I went to the supermarket, and I went to try to buy something. And they said, ma'am, sorry, we can't calculate this. We can't add it. We don't even know the price of it because everything's on a computer. Everything. There's no written prices on anything, barcode, stuff like that. People don't know what the price of anything is anymore. It's all computerized and generalized. So the thing is, you're not thinking. You can't think. So how are you going to add up and figure out how much somebody's going to have for groceries? In this particular case, I was in an Aldi grocery store around 59 in Chicago, and it was in the 80s, and I was there, and they couldn't do anything. So they were turning people around and turned off the electric in the store. Now, imagine stores all over the country doing that. You go in there and say, oh, well, you know, hey, I want to, you know, I want to buy this item. Oh, well, we can't. Everything's froze up. Oh, we don't have no credit card processing right now. You got to pay with cash. Or say they do like they did in just recently in Greece. No cash policy. Yeah, in Greece, they had no cash policy. So you can even pay with cash. So then think of the impact of that. You only got the food in your house. You ain't got no more food. And you can't get any food at a grocery store. Then you go to JoJo, the gas station. Get over there and try to pump some gas. Got big signs up. Can't get any gas. Or even better yet, say that they have some gas left in there. And they go to 15 gallons a gallon. Because the situation that's going on with the banks and everything shut down, they want to make sure they make their money. So all of a sudden, the gallons go up to $15 a gallon. Do you have the money for that, for 1 gallon of gas? Then let's get even worse a scenario of that. You go out and try to get to work and go to your job. Okay, you find out at your job that that company is no longer solvent. It's closing up. So your job's closing up, your situation, you don't have no transportation, that's being cut down, and if you travel now, it's almost like you're going to have to pay up a passport to go one city over to the next. So think of the impact that's going to have on people. Russia went through this when the Kremlin wall broke. This is coming up here in the United States, and we're looking at neo-Nazi situations of fascism, communism, everything else you can think of in the book coming together to a huge nightmare that's going to be, you know, what we're looking at is the future for the United States. And we're all good with it. We, you know, we just bounce around. We're looking at stuff. We think, you know, everything's fine. We buy, you know, all kinds of stuff we don't need. Spend a whole lot of money, and then when this stuff happens, where are you going to be? How are you going to deal with it? Housing. Housing costs is ridiculous. Illinois has the highest level of housing costs, lowest educational levels in the country, you know, lowest. It's going down low. It's very bad. And then the housing thing is, look, you got to have at least make at least $50,000, $60,000 on the edge just to maintain a lifestyle of close to middle class, because it's not even middle class living anymore. They got a whole society coming here that's got boo-boo money. And we ain't got boo-boo money to match it. So we become a dinosaur, eyesore, so we got to go. Now, if you look at the movie and get the book Grapes of Wrath, they'll talk about what they did, how they migrated all those, you know, people that had farms and moved them all up into California and got them all involved with Tennessee Valley Authority, and they had regulators and all kinds of stuff going on in the 1920s. So what do you think is going to happen now? We're no better off in the 1920s. This is a new level of noble poor. People are generating hardly nothing and surviving on nothing. We can go out there and buy the biggest, fanciest cars. We can, you know, front as long as we can. But like I said, when they pull that switch, that bank account, it doesn't matter how much you have in there. You have $500 million in there. And you go over there and they tell you you can't get your money out of the bank. It's been frozen. You think of how many people are going to riot and what's going to happen. I mean, we're not talking to the level of poor people. We're just talking general population itself. And who the hell's going to handle all that? This is the reason why you see these military-looking police coming in. You see these other people coming in. I've been hearing scary stories of FEMA. They said FEMA's out of money. Something else took them over. So the thing is that, you know, look what's happening. It's right before your eyes. It's coming, folks. And this is even biblical terms. So, you know, the thing is, we're being lied to so much, we don't even know the truth when we hear it. These people are so good at deceiving. Now, who deceives? Lying, cheating, stealing? Then you have that thing with ISIS running around. Everybody say, oh, ISIS, ISIS. ISIS this, ISIS that. What is ISIS? Now they call them jihad. How are you going to be jihad places and burn down mosques in the countries where you're supposed to be some kind of terrorist group out of Muslim faith. So if you're terrorists of the Muslim faith, why would you tear down and burn down mosques? Does that make sense? Does it make sense for them to go in Syria and go in there and bomb and kill and behead a whole lot of kids and women and stuff like that, and then go in there and take this one guy that's been on History Channel and get him and threaten to torture him until he told them where this artifact was and whatever the hell they were looking for? He refused to do it, so they murdered him, hung him outside one of these places that he was involved in, left them hanging out there, you know, to let other people know, you know, that this is what they get for not following ISIS. Now, what the hell, and I'm still working on this. Why is it that they had to go for this guy? What is it that they're looking for? Now, see, I'm looking at that pattern. During the time of Bush administration, when they first went into Iraq, they started raiding and stealing everything, like out of the Temple of Doom, with the, what is that thing, that character, Indiana Jones. They had a whole military army force designated to take ancient and steal them and take them and put them in these museums over here. And they were going raiding each country. I was following all this because, see, I study ancient history. And see, to me, it seems like they were trying to look for certain things, maybe for something that they're trying to do ritually. I don't know what the heck is going on. But the thing is, there's a pattern here of them. Why are they going around killing people in Syria? What's in there? Now, that used to be, they said, ancient Mesopotamia. Now, according to what they, you know, they wanted this one area. Now, I did some research and checking out goddesses and stuff. So the goddess Athena, had some type of temple down there. She was a goddess of life and death. See, if you look at the goddess Isis, Isis comes from the Lilith. See, there's Lilith, Lulum, and then there was Isis, and then behind that were the Shebas, the Cleopatras, and all that. That came out of the same line, the ancient Egypt. Now, I had read a story about Isis a long time ago, how she was trying to bring back to life and reanimate her dead husband. That wasn't only plucking the eye that was involved. And so at one point, she disguised herself, and she was traveling with Moses. And she was trying to steal the staff of Moses because the staff of Moses had the name of God written on it. And if she had the name of God, she could evoke the power to bring back her husband. Now, you will listen to this and say, oh, she's full. You know what? Look, I go into ancient texts, ancient things, these people, and, you know, they're digging stuff up. They got worldly information. You don't even know anything. They have no clue about any of these ancient religions because they'll teach you that in school. They'll teach you what you can know. So the thing is, what was it that they're looking for that they're going raiding and stealing and robbing all these places? Now, a lot of people will say, well, they're all done. They're just doing that to raise money for ISIS. Are they really? Or are they doing it before another more evil and devious way? You know, maybe they're looking for these artifacts. Maybe they feel they invoke something and bring forth something, something we don't even know what it's going to be. What is it going to be? Now, this last pope that's in the office right now, it's Pope Peter of the Rock. Now, a lot of people say, no, yeah, whatever. But he's the last pope, and if you look at the list of Malachi, Martin, I think his name was, Malachi listed all of the popes up until the last pope. And in the story I read that the last pope would stand on the shoreline as the beast approaches the front of the Vatican, as Vatican is wiped out and no more. This is written in these ancient texts. You know, and you look what's going on right now. This is maybe the last pope. He's moving around. He's saying certain things. it's supposed to come here in the United States. Some countries, in fact, the governor of Wisconsin stated, he said, told Obama to sway. I think he said to sway the Pope from coming here. Somebody just said to sway the Pope from coming here. Because, see, this stuff is running into a very, very scary situation. To me, it's symbolic. You see, you're dealing with Masonic orders, hidden secret societies, all these different people are in play here. It's not what you think. It's not just, you know, simple, you know, oh, okay, it's black and white and whatever. It's not like that because, see, there's a war going on with these secret societies because there's going to be one at the head anchor, one is going to handle the finances, and it's going to be a situation to put this together real quick. And the thing is, if it doesn't go right, it's going to be world destruction, devastation. It's going to be anyway. A large segment of the population is going to be gone. Now, the other equation is maybe they want a large population gone. Maybe they don't want anybody on this planet anymore. Maybe that we lost our right to this planet. You know, they had the dinosaurs on the planet before. They vanished and went into extinction. So is this going to be the last hurrah for man? And we're going to go into extinction? Assuming that we ascend into, you know, heaven. And what's an ascension into heaven? What is that? We believe stuff and don't understand the full basis of what we're believing and what's being taught to us because, see, what we're being taught is a lie. What does it say about the devil being the biggest deceiver? And we're being deceived every single day and don't realize it. We take words of faith and twist them to our advantage. We take words of faith and use that as a target to say, you know, oh, you know, I'm in the grace of God. How do you know you're in the grace of God? You're just because you said it? Or is it because you thought it? Or is it the fact that you are in grace of God? But then again, how do you know that? We don't know anything. I look at young people running around with these tattoos and piercing and things all over their eyes. What's the point of that? That's showing a whole pattern of people getting in mind and get ready. This is where we're going to be. We're going to be junk. So let me go start looking like it right now. Let me get tattoos all over, rings in my nose, tongue, whatever. And I don't know why I'm doing it, but it looks cool. So then what's going to happen is you're going to have a lot of these people looking at this, being on the same page and looking to figure out what they can do to straighten their whole agenda and life out. And a lot of these people won't be able to straighten anything out. They don't have the ability or money to do. You ask for a lawyer, prepaid legal. Even though you have prepaid legal, I don't know anybody that that helped out immensely with. So the thing is, what are we going to do? It's not about them anymore. It's us. Because, see, we're allowing all this great evil to perpetrate and come in. Now, you got a choice. You know, are you going to take the blue pill? Are you going to take the red pill? You know, are you going to come out of the United States? And, you know, what are you planning on doing? Because, see, the thing is that we don't have time. You can't, you know, when you go to these courts, you got to make sure your eyes are dotted, everything. You got to do everything on the timeline. It specifically says if you're late, just for 1 second too late, then all of a sudden they rule against you. And then after they rule against you, after a certain amount of days, it becomes official. And you can't never reverse it. I don't know. This country is something else. And do I believe that there might be a missile attack between us and Russia? Well, you know what? I've seen other foolish things happen. But the thing, if they do that, you're thinking, well, you know, the people, you know, the ground zero. How many people are going to be affected at ground zero? And then who are they going to rob to put the money back for that one? You know, after a while, you run out of spots. So the thing is that what are we going to do? We're sitting there voyeuring a nightmare that's just getting ready to be perpetrated. When it gets all finished and done, the nightmare is going to go real, and we need to figure out what we're going to do here. So you think that's a plan, or what do you want to do? What is it that you would like to do at lunchtime? What is it that you want to do at night when you get home? What do you want to do when you are just retired? What do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? Have you figured out anything? I don't think anybody's figured out anything right now. Everybody's living in this world that's totally away from, annihilated from the facts and truth of what's going on. I remember this young man called me this week. I was trying to get him on the air. I'm going to try to see again. It's kind of late, but he was locked up in prison, and he was talking to me about, you know, the nightmare he went and experienced as a 17-year-old. They create a scenario to break your morale right when you're born. Especially these black kids that come up, you know, they're in a situation of poverty. They shouldn't be in poverty. How are you going to have equal wages and equal rights for pay and people are making, like, for a whole month as a key punch operator under $100 a month, when the person in the other departments that were key punch operators were making $8.75 starting and went up to whatever, 15 or whatever. And these people never got any more money than that. So think how little their pension is. They don't even have a seeable pension to even afford to survive on. That's why you see a lot of people running around out in the street at all hours of their life support. You see the elderly like that because, you know, they've been either stressed out their level of no return. They haven't had right nutrition, you know, because they can't eat. And, you know, it just goes, list goes on and on and on. So they're going to be real easy to gather up if they want to scoop people up and stick them in somewhere. Easy picking, easy spotting. You know, but this is what the country's become. We just have more Mongols in everybody's business. We, you know, promote things that are not proper for us to promote. We are involved with every aspect of everybody's life by watching, spying on them 24/7. So we have nothing. We have nothing until we start changing up. The whole rule with people that, you know, stand up out and shake hands to get that person, you know, to realize what's going on. And team up, try to get as many people as you can as a team, and then have them meet with you somewhere. And then divide out how much, you know, you're going to be able to afford every month. And, I don't know. This is something really deep. But it will start out with the truck driver, bus driver, any kind of drivers out there. They're all under pressure right now. They're going to have to change their career path. They're going to have to change, you know, not going out at all. You got to run out and try to do what you can to get housing and do something. You know, so people say, oh, you know, she never works and she's lazy. Just say, how the hell am I lazy when I'm running all over town for people doing bankruptcies, foreclosures and stuff that I can go out for days for what I've been doing, you know, in this situation. So that's where I stand. And like I said, this is where I go. And have a good night. I will talk to you again. I hope those people help. So anyway, I'm going to sign off the show for a minute because I'm getting tired because I'm going through a lot right now. I'll explain what I'm going through when I come back on. Just give me another. Probably 20 minutes. I will be back.
Ann Burley, show the detectors. Thank you for listening. I'm back. Caller 718-508-9513. 718-508-9513. If you want to call in and talk to me on the Ann Burley show. Sorry, the last few minutes kind of dozed away. Because I've been dealing with some extraordinary health issues that are getting worse and better in one sense and worse in the other. But I think about, you know, all the things that I've gone through, people I've met, things that are going on currently, and just amazed
you know, amazed that, you know, I was able to make it past a lot of these things. Other people, I don't know how, a lot of people folded already. You know, they're coming out with stories now, you know, people that are activists, you know, that had, you know, passed away under mysterious circumstances. It's questionable of whether or not they were murdered to cover up, you know, too much that they were talking about. The issues that are involved in these cases are not conspiracy. It's just basically truth. You know, and, you know, the thing is, it's not going to get any better because, again, you know, public, you're sitting here and believing lies and misnomer. And pretty soon when they get this TPP thing up and ready, there's not going to be any way of getting any information out. Your phones are only being tapped and monitored. Articles I put on the internet, you know, that they're under watch by the government. It says on the top of them that these articles have been turned over to the Bush administration. I hope he does read them because the thing is, I wrote in here, you know, who these terrorist factions are, but again, you know, who's going to investigate? Who cares? Do you? Do you call up the Senate, you know, look at the documents they put out there and say, hey, you know, this lady's got some credible evidence here. You know, why the hell did you leave these people out of the street? Why are these people, you know, operating cells, still operating businesses in Illinois, travel all over the place, you know? Why are you allowing all these people to have it? Oh, we got James Black that, what is the name? Tim White that was down in Texas. He was in real estate. He squealed it out. It was on the front cover of Time magazine. After that, they went after him, threatened him with anthrax. And they haven't heard anything about him. Eric Schein was out there for a while. He's all quiet and what happened to him. Alfred Weber's still out there in Canada. He's trying to put up a gallant fight. Who else? Most of the Patriot movement is gone. The real movement is in Great Britain. Can you imagine the Brits are fighting for our cause, and we're not even fighting for it, and we have organizations fighting for it, and we won't even back it? In England, they're getting laws passed and saying that, you know, how the heck did they come on 9/11 and show it before it happened in London? And they won a court injunction on it. They at least have courts there. I don't know what we got. Because these judges don't hear anything unless it's got some money based on it. Heaven forbid you owe the court any money. They throw the book after you, go after you. Enough. They do not care. They don't care. They do not care. I called up the congresswoman and the state representative. I asked the state representative in my area and that's in the federal level. I said, you know, we need to legislate. Oh, we don't handle that. That's the legislature branch. You call over the legislation branch. Oh, we don't handle that. But see, there is some branch of government that does write the language and proposals you set foot on to establish, you know, new laws. That's what they told me. Maybe it's something different. So, you know, the thing is, you know, it's not going to stop until we stop. When we decide we had enough of this, we're going to act normal, we're going to be, you know, fighting by the same team, we're not going to be trying to hurt and scoundrel each other and stuff. Once we get to that level and understand a true understanding of the nightmare before us, then we might be able to step forward and do something. But until that day, we have no right to do anything. We have no rights at all. I went down to Wisconsin to rescue somebody. And I got them out, sort of. And then I found out that one of my, you know, I don't know. It's just, all I'm going to say is I need to get some more work done in my car. And I need to change some things going on because I'm so tired and weak. A lot of times I lose the memory and stuff and things because, see, I'm on a float. I'm on a float right now. You know, I think of Stu Webb. He's on a float. He's staying with, you know, somebody, but the thing is, he's on a float. Nobody's got no money. if you ask for anything, you know, people look at you like you're, you know, Jack the Ripper, going to rob them or something like that. I went to the church today to try to get assistance for gas, just for the car. No way, nothing available. Have to wait until they come back in another 2-3 weeks. How's that going to help me if I got to go somewhere today? Logic isn't there. So now I'm sitting here and I'm going to tell you a lineup. We're going to have somebody from Lyndon LaRouche Party, you know, talking about, you know, these jumps here, you know, death-defying jumps they make to capture somebody's vehicle. And we're going to talk about a lot of things going on, you know, with this TP and also the new Galaxy phone lines that, you know, are available. So anyway, I'm just getting running sleepy, empty, and everything else. But I will, you know, check a monitor to see if, you know, that one thing that was supposed to be cooking, that's really true. And like I said, I'm talking all confused right now because I'm tired, extremely tired. So I'm going to end the broadcast here, and then what I'm going to do is tomorrow I'm going to have another gentleman on. Maybe luckily between this one and tomorrow I have somewhere that I can go stay. So anyway, let me get your page. You need that later on, but you need this information that I have here. And I'm thinking about how I could send that to you. So can you hold on 1 second? And listen to the show. And you know, I'm talking all confused because I'm tired. So, before I, you know, keep going on, I'm going to end the broadcast, and then tomorrow night I'm going to do part two. And I'm sorry, you know, about the show tonight, but I think it's better. It sounds more professional, you know, to have the right equipment. So, anyway, I'm going to be signing off.